QRR4 practice piece for 5 minutes. Ready? What's wrong with this government? Why is it so passive, veering from crisis to crisis without a strategy, devoid of any meaningful plan? Speak to the Prime Minister's core supporters and you soon detect that an earlier sense of disappointment is mutating into a slow mounting fury at the chaos and incompetence that this government increasingly exudes. Such people voted Brexit in 2016, Tory in 2019, because they thought the country was on the wrong track and that it was time for a radical shake-up. They are starting to fear that they wasted their time, that this government will let them down just as badly as previous ones did on crime, on the economy and on cultural issues. This sense is clear from casual conversations with Tory supporters ahead of the party's annual conference as well as from focus groups. It remains less visible in opinion polls where Sir Keir Starmer's own failings more than cancel out the growing disenchantment with the Tories. Most toxic of all for the government, the Tory base, who are patriotic and proud of being British above all else, are increasingly worried that the rest of the world is mocking us. They look at the disgraceful queues at our petrol stations and wonder why we appear to be the only country to have imploded in such an embarrassing way. Why is it taking so long to send the army in? Why can't the DVLA be fixed? And what about the UK's inability to control its own borders, as demonstrated by the fact that 17,085 people have arrived from the Channel on small boats so far this year, double 2020's total already? Or to defend Jersey, which fears the French might cut off electricity supplies if Britain doesn't surrender on fishing rights? These Tory voters are right. There is plenty of international schadenfreude at our problems, albeit much of it severely misplaced. The whole world is engulfed in an energy crisis. There are labour shortages across Europe, and the principal problems at home is British truckers quitting the industry rather than Europeans leaving. And illegal immigration is a mess everywhere. But Boris Johnson and Britain, for that matter, have something to prove. Brexit was a declaration of war on the global establishment, and as a result, Britain is being held to a higher standard than other more compliant countries. After years of bad publicity from an international media that was almost entirely anti-Brexit, such an attitude is no surprise, even if it is galling. Every problem in the UK is magnified and immediately and wrongly blamed on our idiosyncratic decision to govern ourselves and reject the strictures of global bureaucrats. Nobody cares that Italian energy prices are higher than Britain's or about the scale of France's labour shortage in the hospitality industry, but supposedly intelligent people are quick to claim that rocketing gas and electricity prices in the UK are somehow due to Brexit. To crush all of this nonsense, Johnson needed to show that he could be a successful CEO, not merely a disruptor. He had to prove to sceptics inside and outside Britain that Brexit was indeed the huge opportunity he rightly said it would be. For that, he had to demonstrate to global financial institutions that they were wrong to sell the pound so heavily after the referendum, in turn inflating the prices of imported goods. He needed to explain to international investors that UK share prices were far too low because of ridiculously exaggerated concerns over the impact of Brexit on our economy. Johnson seemed at first to be proving his sceptics wrong. He negotiated a deal that restored the UK's sovereignty while retaining as much free trade as a reactionary EU would tolerate. He started to rewire some of the institutions of government to make them more effective, although this was derailed by COVID. The high point came with the brilliant vaccine rollout, which would have been catastrophic. Delayed had we remained part of the EU. Many thousands of lives were saved, and this triumph alone should have forced Remainers to accept that they got the cost-benefit analysis of Brexit spectacularly wrong. Sterling surged, and the global markets began to believe in post-Brexit Britain. Yet barely a year, half a year later, and the mood has turned against the UK again. The panic at the pumps is making it easy for those with a grudge to write Britain off. The pound is down by 5% against the dollar since May, and the economy appears to be flatlining. Living standards will collapse next year thanks to the energy price shock, higher taxes, a weakening currency, surging general inflation and high interest rates. While other countries will also suffer on that front, there are actually some valid reasons for the renewed international scepticism towards Britain. One is our absurd self-defeating decision to sabotage our competitiveness at the worst possible time. Johnson's massive increase in corporation tax and national insurance will make it far less attractive to invest or recruit in Britain. Far from embracing a Singapore on Thames version of Brexit that would have more than compensated for the hit to growth from the protectionist barriers erected by a vindictive EU, We are deliberately throwing away economic growth, nationalising the railways and failing to tackle the housing shortage. We are decarbonising on a whim without any thought given to what might happen if there is no wind or gas supplies are disrupted. Britain is equally unprepared to deal with post-COVID labour shortages. It is the government's policy to reduce unskilled migration, partly to boost wages, but where is its plan, given the dire side effects of lockdown, to encourage, incentivise or train more British workers to pick up the slack? Isn't that what levelling up is meant to be about? It is hardly a surprise, therefore, that so many Tory voters are upset. They are right that the government's incompetence is humiliating Britain. One of the many advantages of Brexit, for despite Johnson's errors, the case for it remains overwhelming, is the wonderful accountability it enables. The chaos can no longer be blamed on Brussels policies or European judges or anybody else. The buck stops at number 10.